Blog Talk Radio.
And the collective wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of the show. My guest this evening is my friend Joel Wexler. Our topic is gay spirituality. The call in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Joel Wexler. Hello, dear Joel. How are you?
No, I can't do it. Just wait. I'm the boy. Hello, how are you, Kate?
Good.
Yeah. I want to talk about the gay men's spiritual retreat I went on Father's Day, ironically, just recently, from June 17th to 19th, at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Are you familiar with Omega?
Omega, yes, I love it. I have not been there, though, Joel. But Tom has, my husband Tom has been, so yeah, he loved it there, and I just love the fact that he's been helped so much.
Yeah, well, I was helped a lot, too. It was really like an awakening for me, because I, as a gay male, I was in touch with the emotional side of things, and the intellectual side of things, and the sexual side of things, but the weekend mainly concentrated on the spiritual side of things. Can I describe it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, we had four leaders, all well known in their field. We had a man named Toby Johnson, who's written many books. He's very funny, actually. The book that I bought from him is called, hold on, Getting Life in Perspective by Toby Johnson. And in his intro, he says, what is a gay spiritual romance novel? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
And one of the things he says, which I really love, is romance is what powers life. We long to feel love. Spirituality is what gives depth to life. Which I really love that. A truly good gay, I'm quoting, spiritual romance novel entails an entertaining, erotically arousing, and emotionally fulfilling tale about the interior growth of likable gay characters. See, I think gay people get a bad rap. You know, even, I mean, the so-called, I don't want to get into politics, because it wasn't about politics. Anyway, he was one of the leaders. There were three other leaders. There are about 12 of us, or 14 of us. And I think the most important thing about the weekend was making friends with the other guys. I mean, it was a diverse group of people, some people in their 20s, some people like myself, who's over 100 years old. No, I'm just kidding. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The people in their 70s, and we each told our stories to start off with. One of the men, for example, is a father, and what's it like to be a father and to be gay. People came from all over. A lot of people from the New York area, so I've made some friends. A lot of people, different types of work, some students. As I said, the best part of the weekend was the getting to know these guys, and everybody was very respectful of the differences, because we are different, too, just like everybody else is different. Should I go on and tell about the other leaders?
Yes.
Okay, well, one is a beautiful poet. His name is Dale Beebe, and he wrote a book that I bought called Towards Spirit and the Christ Within, Meditations on the Road, the Web, and the Tree of Life. May I read one of his poems?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Really a rich book. He starts off each poem with, "The teacher within said, the teacher within said." Let's see if I can find the good one. I'll find the short one because I have so much. Okay, let's see. "A loving kindness. The teacher within said," can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
"The teacher within said, there is a gentleness I wish to give you, formed from my youth and fulfilled in your action." Hold on. "Why do you resist the gift that I bring? Look not at the way others view gentleness, but see it for what it is. It is lightness and humor, kindness and loving touch, fullness in word and thought, and radiance in action." Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's Brett, and a little bit of a bio on him. Oh, by the way, the first man, Toby, worked in San Francisco as a counselor before he moved to Texas. So we had something in common. He worked in the Tenderloin, Kate.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Did you notice a lot of synchronicities with the people that you met, that they're like meaningful coincidences and things that linked you all together?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
yeah.
The fact that he worked in San Francisco years before I did, and I know the Tenderloin because I worked in San Francisco too. The fact that he was a drug counselor and dealt with people with drug problems. And when I was in San Francisco, I was a counselor too. So there's that link. And then I sent him, and he responded to me. I think I showed you. I sent him my play about my relationship with Tim, my love in San Francisco, and he responded. He really gave me some great feedback. So it's like the weekend opened up not only me to more spirituality, but friendships.
Yes. Well, friendships are spiritual. You know, friendships are very spiritual.
Oh, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been friends since you've been 12.
Right.
You're pretty good. Anyway, Brett Cobb is a clairvoyant teacher, reader, and interfaith minister living in New York's Hudson Valley. For 20 years, he worked in a wide range of corporate positions, from senior management with a number of New York City's largest performing and visual arts. So very interesting. After years of struggle to accept his spiritual longing and many years of study to understand his intuitive nature, he began in 2003 to share healing workshops in small groups. Today, he is deeply grateful for life's abundance and travels frequently to help persons of all ages and all backgrounds to connect with the God of their heart. And
wow,
that's true.
Yeah. The God of your heart. I like that.
So these workshop leaders were no slouches, so to speak.
Yeah.
Then we had another one who came from England. He was real playful. He was like a pixie. He reminded me of a pixie. And he was going to New York to see some plays. I recommended him to see the landmark play by Larry Kramer, which is about, it's called The Normal Heart. Which
The Normal
plays,
Heart.
Yes, it played in the 80s. It's about Larry Kramer's struggle with Mayor Koch in New York and the other gay men who didn't want to raise money for AIDS. And it's a beautiful play. It just won last year, Best Revival. Anyway, James Phillips, his name is, he was going to New York after the weekend, I recommend is The Normal Heart. And what James Phillips does, can I read you about him?
Yes, please.
Well, he does guided visualizations and meditations, and he played this for us. It's called the guided chakra meditation, and he took us through the different chakras. You know, growing up a Jewish boy in New York, I wasn't into much of this stuff, but I loved it. He took us through guided visualization, through the chakras, for health, happiness, and inner transformation. I recommend you read it, try to get the CD. It's really easy to find. It's called Chakra Meditation. Can I read you a little bit about it?
Yes.
Well, I'll read you about James Phillips. Actually, I'll try to get one for you, Kate, you and Tom. James Phillips, born in Scotland, is an inspirational teacher with 12 years professional practice as a spiritual medium, chakra, shamanic healer, and channeler. He is the founder of Celestial Earth, teaching the spiritual gifts of healing, guidance, intuition, and consciousness development, offering spiritual workshops and training in leading venues, including Trioga, whatever that is. Oh, I guess that's in London. Trioga, London, and Omega Holistic Institute in New York. Then he describes the guided visualization, going through the chakras. It's a visual journey, and it definitely was. His voice is very soothing, and he's a very sweet man.
Mm-hmm.
So that was workshop leader number three. Then we had one more. It was very well known. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, this man's name is Christian D. Lahorta. That's a funny name. And he too worked in San Francisco for a long time. He's a great author. I recommend his book, Coming Out Spiritually. He talks about gay men always being in the forefront. I wish I could. Let me read to you something about him. Christian Lee DeHart, it's a brilliant book, it's well researched. Christian D. LaHorta, 10 Functions of Gay People. This is very interesting. I don't have time to go into it now, but I'll read to you what he says, okay?
Yeah.
10 Functions of Gay People. I mean, gay people have always been, you know, they have not always been felt like they're outsiders. Sometimes they're the spiritual guidance of the community. Anyway, the 10 functions of gay people, and he proves it with research, so it's not just making it up. Catalytic transformers, outsiders, consciousness scouts, I like this one, sacred clowns and eternal youth. Sometimes I feel like that. Keepers of beauty, caretakers, mediators, get this, shamans and priests, the divine androgyne, and gatekeepers.
Wow, that's so really cool. I love that list.
Well, when I see you, and I recommend the book to everybody that's listening. His name is Christian D. LaHorta. That's Christian. Next word, D, next word, La, and last word is H-U-E-R-T-A. And I recommend it particularly to gay people who are having trouble with their identity, because when you read this book, it boosts your self-esteem. You realize throughout history, there have been shamans and caretakers, caregivers, mediators, and so it's called Coming Out Spiritually. And I would, of all the books that I've mentioned, I would recommend that one as number one.
I like that. I like that. The title, Coming Out Spiritually. I mean, that would seem to me to be even apropos for people, and of course, I mean, anyway, apropos for people who are not, you know, gay. But
yes, that's true.
And certainly, spirituality is spirituality, don't you think? And it really doesn't matter who you are. It speaks to all of us.
Yes, I totally agree, yes. But no, also, gay spirituality, at least in this book, he proves that it's something that is very important for a gay person to read about and feel, particularly if that person, a young person, for example, a lot of young kids these days, they don't know who they are, they're afraid to be gay, they think they're going to be ostracized, and many of them are. Look at that horrible thing that happened to Tyler Clemente when he jumped off the George Washington Bridge. That young kid has so much potential. I mean, I wrote a poem that I don't have on me, but I could send it to you. I think I did. A poem is a Rutgers University student, and his roommate, webcam, more bullshit with technology, excuse me, webcam student while he was having sex with another man, and then the kid goes and jumps off the George Washington Bridge. So much potential lost there. So much tragedy. Just because he was gay. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he could have been saved. If he had read this book, maybe he would have been saved. But he was so embarrassed and ashamed, he jumps off the bridge. And you know something, Kate? If you readers would like to know a fact, there are more gay kids, lesbian girls, and gay young men who are committing suicide now than ever before. And somebody wrote a book. That's the truth. Somebody wrote a book. Let's see if I have the title of it. And President Obama wrote something in the book. Somebody wrote a book about bullying and how bullying affects your life. It's a real landmark book that should be that high school teachers are getting and assigned to their kids because it goes on. I mean, I was bullied because I was Jewish, but these kids are being bullied because they're gay and because they're considered different. And these writers in the book, it's a great book, are saying, you know, don't worry that bullying will stop. You will not be bullied for the rest of your life. I don't have the time. Let's see if I have any. Oh, let's see. No, I don't have it right here, but I could give you the title next time we talk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then as a gift from the workshop leaders, they gave us this beautiful book of which I can also show you when we meet. It's called Contemplations of the Heart, a book of male spirit, photography, very creative, photography, digital imaging, and text. And it's photographs of gay, nude men, not full pornographic, beautiful men of all different races and so forth, with text. Can I read you one?
Sure.
And the author is named Peter G. I'm going to plug his book. Peter Grahame. And it's called Contemplations of the Heart, a book of male spirit, photography, digital imaging, and text. And he could be reached in, even though, yes, he'll mail you the book, for $25, he could be reached in New Hampshire. I could give you the address. But let me read you one of his. Am I going on too much?
No, go ahead.
I'll read you one of his little pieces here. Okay. Along with the picture he has, picture. He has this one, a beautiful picture of a nude man holding a rose. It says, "The rose of the soul opens when the inner light is right. Isn't that beautiful?
Say it again.
The rose of the soul opens when the inner light is right.
Mm-hmm.
And we got his book as a gift from the workshop leaders. I'll read you another one. It is difficult to accept that the life I lead may be over at any minute. But when I do realize it, a deep appreciation for life, just as it is each moment, I'll insert even with the rain we're having. But a deep appreciation for life, just as it is each moment, and all I do washes over me, and I can experience joy ever present and pass it on to others. Did you get that?
Yes, yes. That's very true.
And I believe in that, and I learned a lot that the weekend. I guess to use a cliche, it really filled me up.
Mm-hmm.
If we had more time, I can give everybody a list of books they should read, because I'm an old college professor, and it's very...
That would be our homework.
People should read it, and I won't give them a quiz. For example, let me just give you two examples. There's a new book out. It's really brilliant. It's by, can you hear me?
Yes.
There's a book out by Michael Bronski. It's a new book, Bronski, and it's called A Queer History of the United States. And do you know that Eleanor Roosevelt was bisexual?
No.
The greatest first lady we ever had, she was bisexual. And do you realize that the greatest poet we ever had was bisexual? And you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Walt Whitman. Walt Whitman.
Oh, that's very interesting, yeah.
And do you know that the greatest play of the 21st century is called Angels in America, that won more Tony Awards than any other play?
Yeah, yeah.
In recent history. And it's by Tony Kushner, and it's not only about gays, and Roy Cohn and Mormons, and it's the most brilliant play since Death of a Salesman. It's up there with Death of a Salesman and Long Day's Journey into Night. It's considered a landmark play, and it's a gay play. Well, not only a gay play, it's about everything. And I saw it in San Francisco with Tim in its original production, and an angel comes crashing through the ceiling at the end of Act One. It's a beautiful play. And I can go on and on with other gay plays, but maybe I shouldn't.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, there's a new play that was on Broadway last year called Next Fall. I can't remember the author right now. I saw it. It's about two gay men. One of them is Jewish. He's the older one, and the other one is younger. He's Catholic, and it's really not just about gays. It's about anybody who questions their faith. He wonders how he could square being gay with being Christian, because being Christian is a whole other ball of wax, and the play is about their relationship and his father not accepting him for being not accepting the gay. The gay son for being gay. And next fall, I'll tell you the author of that. Jeffrey Nauf, N-A-U-F-T-S.
Mm-hmm.
Another brilliant play, A Tragedy. I don't know if you listeners ever heard of Matthew Shepard.
Yeah.
He was brutally murdered in Laramie, Wyoming. And this is a landmark play again. It's called it's produced all over the world now, particularly in schools. So, good luck. Are you there?
Yeah, what is it called?
It's a long title, The Laramie Project, meaning Laramie, Wyoming. L-A-R-A-M-I-E. This is long. Moise, you can pick it up, though. Are you there?
Yep.
Moises, M-O-I-S-E-S, Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N, and the members of the Tectonic, T-E-C-T-O-N-I-C, Theater Project. And you can pick it up at any decent bookstore. It's a play. It's actually being produced in New Jersey, maybe we should go. It's basically a play where these members of this theater company. Yeah, I'm sure your husband knows about it. Members of this theater company go to Laramie, Wyoming, and they interview people who, of course, knew about the brutal murder of Matthew Shepard. And it's basically a picture of a city, and actually a country, that's in conflict about the gay members of the society. Some people thought that he should have been murdered. Some people, of course, were horrified by it. So you got the title of that?
They thought he should be murdered?
Well, they thought...
people are so ridiculous. Never mind. Oh, God.
The gays don't have a right to... they blame poor Matthew Shepard for picking up the two assholes, worse than assholes, that took his life. You know how they murdered him? As a matter of fact, his mother, Matthew Shepard's mother, Judy Shepard, has become a strong advocate for gay rights. She goes all around the world talking about her son and how horrible it was and how we can never forget it. And
the last few things that you said kind of sounded muffled.
Okay, I'll repeat it again.
I don't know what happened to the. Do you have a headset on, or are you just speak? I would speak a little bit away from the mouthpiece. The mouthpiece, but you're just a little bit. I don't know. It just sounds a little muffled. I can't explain it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly. I think it has to do with my Parkinson's disease. I think it's really, it goes into the little hole of Parkinson's. Can you hear me now?
I can't really hear you very well.
Okay, how's this?
Do you want to try and hang up and call back?
Well, no, I just want to see. Okay, hang on.
Oh, wait a minute. That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, whatever you just did, that's good.
Okay, what I was saying was Matthew Shepard's mother, Judy Shepard, is a strong advocate for gay rights, and she goes all around the country talking about how the death of her son is horrible, how it must never happen again, and she supports gay rights. She has a fund, and she talks, and she had a look for her son in order to become one of the strongest. She's a heroine for gay and lesbian people.
Yes.
You know what?
You showed me that. You suggested that book that she wrote, didn't she, about her son?
Yeah, The Meaning of Matthew.
That is just a remarkable book. And speaking of something that was comforting for her, if there is such a thing that could be comforting, was the fact that when he was dying, a deer came and snuggled with him.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing that I pick up on. I mean, I just think that there's just something that is, to me, is really spiritual, where the animals come and comfort the humans. Or you would think that he probably died alone and in a horrible state, but there was an animal that he didn't die alone. And that means a lot, doesn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'd highly recommend that book by Judy Shepard, The Meaning of Matthew. As you read that book, it's a page turner. It's really easy to read.
Oh, it is easy to read. It's horrifying, but... because he was a very confused young man.
Oh, he was, I know. But he knew he was gay and he accepted that. He did accept it.
Yes.
And he was loved by a lot of people.
He sounds like a saint, you know, in a way. Like when you talked about being a shaman, you know, there was somebody who had shaman-like qualities. He was probably too young. Had he lived a longer life, he would have grown into his ability to heal. You know, he was a healer.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, it's horrible what happened to him. Just horrible.
Oh, I know.
Can I read you?
Yeah, go ahead.
In October 1998, a 21-year-old student at the University of Wyoming was kidnapped, severely beaten, and left to die, tied to a fence in the middle of the prairie outside Laramie, Wyoming. His bloody, bruised, and like Jesus Christ in a way, his bloody, bruised, and battered body was not discovered until the next day, and he died several days later in an area hospital. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
His name was Matthew Shepard, and he was the victim of this assault because he was gay. Moises Kaufman and several members of the Tectonic Theater Project made 6 trips to Laramie over the course of a year and a half in the aftermath of the beating and during the trial of the 2 young men accused of killing Shepard. They conducted more than, this is really theater, social theater. They conducted more than 200 interviews with the people of the town. Some people interviewed were directly connected to the case, and others were citizens of Laramie, and the breadth of their reactions to the crime is fascinating. Kaufman and Tectonic Theater members have constructed a deeply moving theatrical experience from these interviews and their own experiences. The Laramie Project is a breathtaking theatrical collage that explores the depths to which humanity can sink and the heights of compassion of which we are capable. And I saw one of the reviewers says, astonishing, not since Angels in America has a play attempted so much, nothing less than an examination of the American psyche at the end of the millennium. It's an amazing play. Actually, they performed it at Montclair State, a bunch of students, and I saw it, and they were great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard play to do because there's a lot of things going on all at once. There's a lot of actors. They play a different role. If your audience ever gets a chance to see it, they do it a lot in high schools and colleges. I'd highly recommend it.
I would like to see it. Have you seen it?
I've seen it, but they're doing it again. Maybe you and Tom could come up. They're doing it again in Chatham, New Jersey, sometime in 2012. And I'm definitely going to see it.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds wonderful. Well, it sounds very heart-wrenching, but it does sound like something. First of all, the time that it happened, it really did catch the imagination of America. I mean, it was something that we all were aware of, and we were horrified by it, and some people probably weren't, but anyone I knew was terribly upset by it. And yes. So I probably would love to see that play.
We'll make a date. So it's sometime, I think, in the winter or spring of 2012. I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But actually, President Clinton called Judy and Matthew's father and said how deeply troubled he was by it.
I remember that he did. He certainly had a personal way with people, didn't he, President Clinton?
Oh yes, he did. He really cared.
He makes stupid mistakes half the time, but. He has a way about, and I'm not even referring to the sexual thing. I mean, he's just. I think he does have. Yeah.
What did you say?
He just gets on. He just does stupid things. That's all I can say.
We won't get into it, but Hillary is a little smarter than him. They're both very intelligent people.
Yes,
But Hillary is, I think, a little smarter than him. But let's not get into politics.
No, that's not, because it doesn't solve any problems, does it?
No, it doesn't. But I wish more people would go. There's so much you could take in Omega. I mean, gay spirituality is just one weekend out of the whole year. We're going to see Thich Nhat Hanh, for example.
Yes. I'm very excited. We can tell our listeners that you and I are going to go see Thich Nhat Hanh. They call him Thai, I think, because that is the way it's pronounced, and it means teacher. And he's a well-revered spiritual giant, you know what I mean? And to be in his presence, we should be changed forever. I mean, not to say that I think we will be changed forever. We'll probably talk about it for the rest of our lives.
We'll probably go out to the streets of New York and start ringing bells.
It'll be really strange to go back into the world after that one.
Yeah. Well, Tim and I saw him. He used to come to Berkeley a lot.
Yeah.
So I've seen him already, and he's just great.
Right. Oh, my gosh, I forgot that you said that you had seen him. That's right.
Yeah, and I have one of his tapes, and he's written a million books, and he's an amazing man. He's a short guy that just sits there with a smile on his face. I always wonder, what's he thinking as he has this little smile on his face?
Now, let me just tell you the book I just bought on Kindle. I hope I don't lose my connection here on the show. If I do, just hang in there.
Okay.
Okay, now, just a minute. It's on my Kindle, so I will take a look here. Let's see.
By the way, Keith, what time is it?
Right now it's we only have 20 minutes left on the program, which is so ridiculous. It just goes by so fast.
I
just want to tell you the name of this book. I think it's a new book that he's written. This man is totally prolific, and I actually have two whole bookshelves of the books that Thich Nhat Hanh has written.
Really?
And, I used to buy every one of them, and then I decided to stop buying his books. And then this one is called You Are Here. Isn't that a neat title? You Are Here.
That's great. When we go see him, bring your it's on Kindle. You show me.
Well, no, it'll be on my iPhone. I have a Kindle app on my iPhone, so I will show it to you and read some things to you because it's very profound, you know. And it's just a simple thing, you know. Basically, you just concentrate on your breath in and out, and be in the. He says something about being in the kitchen. Is the highest place for a practitioner practicing mindfulness to be. So as you're doing the dishes and as you're cleaning up the kitchen and as you're doing the things that in some spiritual traditions call being a householder, where you are doing the things around the house in this very mindful way, and you're living in the present moment, and you're just simplifying your life as much as you can.
Well, let me just tell you what's come into my life recently. Maybe I told you. I met this man in New York City who was into tantric massage, and he noticed that I had Parkinson's. He's a gay male himself. He said to me, we met at a little play that they were doing in the village. His name is Marcus. He's a sweet man. He said to me, you have Parkinson's. I could help you with that. He said, I could help you through tantric massage. I said, I thought this was just sexual and sensual. He said, oh, no, it's much more than that. Yes, it is sensual and sexual, but it can be if that's what you want, and if that's where it goes. But it's also very spiritual. And I've seen him three times. And he's become a friend, and he's helped me with my Parkinson's, and we do it in the nude, and that's okay with me, and that's okay with him.
Yes.
And we're actually going to do a course together at his house, so things are really happening. A course where I do drama therapy, because I used to be a drama therapist, and he does tantric massage, and we're figuring out a way that we could do both together and make it a spiritual and sensual, that's part of it, experience for the participant. So anybody who wants to sign up, any of your listeners want to sign up, you can come to New York and do it with us.
Come to New York. That's where everything happens.
Oh, yeah, everything, bad things and good things. But the thing that got me, Kate, is when you said about breath. My friend, tantric person, is Mark, and as we're doing the tantric exercises, he keeps saying, breathe, breathe, breathe. You know what I mean? And your husband probably knows this, and I know this too. What do actors always do? What are they always told to do? Breathe. I mean,
what are they talking about?
All acting teachers say the first thing about acting, you have to learn how to breathe.
Breathe, yes.
Well,
there's something, I just read this great Shirley MacLaine book, and it's called, I'm Over All of That. So she's in, I guess she's almost 80. And she's in her late 70s, and she's talking about what it's like to perform before a live audience. And she said there's absolutely nothing like it in the world. Where,
no, there is.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking out at the audience, and you can't see them, but you feel them. You feel, and your performance is in sync with the audience as a whole. It's almost like the audience, all those people, and of course there's a lot of people who go to see her, that all the people in the audience are acting as one, and she's performing to the one, you know, she was saying. And it's like a real religious, spiritual experience.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And another thing my acting teacher always said, they want to love you. They want to love you. They want you to succeed. They want you to be good. They want to love you. And that really helps an actor because, you know, we go out there and we're vulnerable and we're scared shitless, even the great ones.
Yeah.
But my acting teacher kept saying, you can be nervous, but just remember, just following what you just said, Kate, they want to love you. They want to be one with you.
You know, that's very spiritual. That's very spiritual, because we're talking about really the heart of all spirituality is love, and you're right. I mean, and the thing is, yes, the audience does want to love you, but if you love your audience, that is a reciprocal kind of love that is absolutely, there's nothing that can equal that as a performer, you know, and it's very interesting. That would work in everything that you do, really.
Well, I mean, it's so simple. When you start talking about breath, I mean, it's so cliche, but what is life but breath, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to breathe. Because
prana is the ancient, I think it might be even a Sanskrit word for the breath, which is God, or which is the whole of the universe, which is within you, because you're the one who's breathing, but everything else is being too. Everything.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the things I learned in this retreat. We did a lot of breath work, a lot of going into ourselves, and a lot of breathing, and deep breathing, and breathing with our eyes closed. It was a great, to bring it back, it was a great experience. But talking about acting, I want to put in a plug for Meryl Streep.
Oh, okay.
I just heard today, and she'll probably win the Academy Awards for this one. She's coming out with a new movie where she plays Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister.
Oh, my God.
And the person who saw the coming attraction said she looks exactly like Margaret Thatcher. Just like she looked like Julia Child. That woman is talking about acting. She is totally, totally amazing.
How come I didn't know about that? That's because you are on the forefront of knowing everything that comes out in the theater and the movies. Speaking about movies, we saw a really horrible movie last night. It was called The Debt. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah, Dame Helen Mirren. It wasn't any good.
No, she was good, but
well, she's always good.
She was good. I mean, but they had a great cast of older actors, including herself, and if they had played more of those scenes with those actors, it would have been better than it was with the younger. They kept having these flashbacks with these younger people who were idiotic, really. And so anyway, that's just my personal opinion. I think the older actors. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me mention three movies while we're on movies that your audience is pretty for sure. Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris is totally funny and crazy. Very, very interesting what it's saying about living in the past, because the main character, Owen Wilson, wants to go back to Paris in the 20s and 30s, where Ernest Hemingway was in, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and the music is great. So that's one movie, Midnight in Paris.
Is that a recent movie?
Oh, yeah, it just came out about 2 months ago.
Okay,
go ahead. The other two movies are based on a book. One of them you should bring a lot of Kleenex with you, because it's very sad. It's called Sarah's Key. It takes place during World War II when the Nazis invaded France, and France capitulated to the Nazis and started arresting Jews. It's a true story, arresting Jews. It's about this one reporter who many, many years later wants to ferret out the truth about what happened. And her family, it's very interesting. Her family was actually involved with Sarah and her brother. And the actress that plays little Sarah is just totally amazing. And Kristen Scott Thomas plays the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got that Sarah's Key, a tearjerker.
And the name of it is, again?
Sarah's Key.
Okay.
K-E-Y. And you can buy the book. It's a bestseller. And then the third movie I'd recommend, which if you want to find out a lot about history in the South in the 50s, is The Help.
You like it?
I actually liked it because the acting was great. And
mm-hmm.
Some of the old-timers was in it. Sissy Spacek is a riot in it. She plays the uptight mother. Her daughter is uptight, a white racist, and I won't give it away, but the daughter does something, and Sissy Spacek, who hates the daughter, laughs hysterically.
I do want to see that.
Because it's really another landmark movie in a way, and the actresses,
yeah.
the two black actresses are just fantastic. And what it's saying about the way these white prima donnas, these white wealthy women treated their black maid was totally disgusting.
Oh, and my gosh, yeah.
And that's just the 50s we're talking about.
1950s?
It takes place in Jackson, Mississippi in the 1950s. And these
I would like to see it, yeah.
It's very, very well done, actually. And the acting is just fantastic.
Well, if Sissy Spacek is in it, it would have to be tremendous. I didn't realize she was in it.
Oh, yeah, she
That's
doesn't
great.
Have a main role, but she has a very important role because she disapproves of her uptight daughter's reactions to the black.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other great actresses in it. Cicely Tyson is an old-timer. I love it. So that's it for movies.
Oh,
yeah, maybe you'll have me on one time, Kate. I'll just talk about movies.
I know. I love to hear you talk about movies. You're so into them, and you know what's going on with them. And
well,
so,
I have a fantasy that'll probably never happen. The mirror that I act so street one day. I think we can argue this forever, but I think she's the greatest actor we ever had. She just can do anything. She plays a nun in Doubt. She dances in Mamma Mia. She plays an Italian lady who comes from Italy to America in The Bridges of Madison County, and on and on.
I know. She is one of the greatest actresses alive, really.
I mean, she transforms herself into even the HBO version of Angels in America. She plays a male rabbi.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's so cool.
and she plays other roles in that movie, a Mormon mother, Ethel Rosenberg. She, I don't know how she does it. She, like, with her, it's like, it looks like it's so easy. I'm sure it's not, but.
Well, she turns out films. She makes films. Must make two, three films a year, or maybe just one or two now.
Now probably
that's a lot.
Two. It is a lot. But she's very well liked. I'm so.
It's very hard.
My prediction is that I think she'll be nominated for Best Actress for playing Margaret Thatcher.
Well, that's funny that she's playing Margaret Thatcher. Oh my gosh.
I know. that hair, she has that hair there.
Did that just open in New York?
It's opening in October.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Margaret Thatcher.
She's so she was so conservative. That'll be funny.
And you know who else will be in the movie, I'm sure? Somebody playing Ronnie Reagan. Because Margaret and Ronnie were very tight with each other.
Uh-huh.
Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher.
Are you saying that there's a guy playing Ronald Reagan in that film?
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
But they were buddies, Thatcher.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. That'll be funny.
What's really crazy is that I'm sure Meryl Streep is really very liberal, and she's playing this conservative woman. But that's the challenge of acting. In a way, it's more fun to play somebody different from yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that one where she recently played. It's so funny. She plays this woman who's married, gets a divorce, and then she hooks up with a man who's her architect of her new an addition to her home, and then she has an affair with her husband again. And I think it's called It's Complicated. It's very good.
Very funny. Steve Martin.
Is very funny in that thing. The way they put pot together, that is so funny when they're smoking pot. Oh my gosh.
I know. Her ex-husband sneaking around looking at her, and his ass gets exposed and he falls out through a window, I think. What's his name, the actor? Martin. He's a good actor, too. The one that played the ex-husband.
It's escaping me what his name is. That's terrible. I really love him. He's a very good, funny man. Yes.
I'm just worried. Anyway, what time is it, Kate?
Right now, it's 7 minutes to 8.
Well, I think in about 7 minutes, I'm going to have to start, or maybe sooner, because actually I'm at a doctor's office here in Bloomfield, because yesterday I hurt my back a little bit. I wanted to take x-rays before they leave.
You say you fell?
Yeah, I'm okay, but I want them to look at my back. And I don't want to come back tomorrow. And they said they closed exactly at 8. So maybe we should cut this short.
That would be fine. If you're feeling okay, I know that this weather is not really compatible with light.
Compatible with water.
That's terrible. But I hope it all clears up, and by the time we go to New York, that it's a beautiful fall day, and I hope it's just beautiful. So.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
I am going to program it.
Yes, and my current boyfriend, Jerry, and I, we're going to come to Lancaster to see you, because the fall should be beautiful in Lancaster.
Yeah, you're going to tell me very soon. We'll get together and decide what time you should, you know, what's the best time for you guys to get down here.
Oh, I love to see the Amish and to see. I don't know if I could live there, but I love visiting Lancaster.
It is really beautiful here. So I hope you feel better, my dear, and we will connect very soon. And love to you. I think spirituality is just universal. It doesn't have to be something that applies to one person, not another. I think it applies to all of us. So
I agree. And I'd love to come on again sometime and talk more about the weekend and read more quotes. The four workshop leaders, as I said, were wonderful leaders. The workshop was very smooth. They really knew how to run it. They've been doing it for a long time. They went from one, and each of them had a different personality. And then, but it was like there was a lot of love in the room.
A lot of love in the room. Nice. Yeah.
What? So I guess I'll sign off. Is that it?
Okay. Sounds great, Joel. Love you.
Love you. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. I'm going to play music for Mother and Child by Klaus V. Jensen in Denmark.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And that would be, yeah, www.musicformotherandchild.com. Hey,
okay.
Here it goes. Love you.
Bye. Bye-bye.